This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
In John 15, verse 4, the word says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." Now, that's the way I quote it, but it's up on the screen. The word abide means to dwell, to remain, to stay alive. Everybody say, to stay in the presence. Abiding in the presence of God is what I want to talk about. I talked last week about abiding in the presence means that we're cognizant, aware, that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent, okay? We also understand that he's what holds the world together. Without him, this world would the atoms would not stay where they need to be. He is the order in the universes and throughout all creation. If you believe that, say yes. But I want to talk about his manifest presence again this morning. And as we said, there's a definition for the word manifest. And the word manifest means to make known, to be seen, to be recognized and understood. God wants to make his presence known to every one of us. I use the example of a billionaire. If a billionaire is in every service this morning, all three services, you might accept and believe because I'm the one telling you that there's a billionaire in every service this morning, but you wouldn't know who he was, and you wouldn't know for sure unless you could see him. Now, he would not be made manifest until he took out a cashier's check written to Carla and Ryan Mabe and came up here because they're sitting in the front row and handed them a cashier's check made out to their name for $1 million. Now he is, thank you, your hands out. Thank you. I am not the billionaire. This is an illustration, okay? But anyway, but if I had it, you would take that $1 million and pay me $100,000 tithe, right? Amen. You know, the point is that billionaire would have manifested, and you would then, everybody say, see, know, and be aware that he actually is present. That it would be his manifest presence. Furthermore, in the other two services, if I said and showed and he manifested himself that he's going to give $1 million to somebody who's sitting on the front row, every seat would be taken in the second and third services, right? Okay, so that is what we need to understand. The manifest presence is what you can see. You can literally sense it. It is the five senses. You can sense God. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We can see him, okay? We can touch him. You understand what I'm saying? The lady touched the hem of Jesus' garment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been touched by the Holy Spirit and been healed? How many of you have been touched by God and your life has been changed? That is touching God. He is able to be touched. He's able to be felt. He's the smell. He is a sweet-smelling savor. See, the senses, I need to understand, and you and I need to be aware that his manifest presence is available to the body of Christ today, and it is available to those who don't know God through people who do know God. Let me say this to you. The presence of the Lord is within you for your sake, but the presence of God is upon you for their sake. And we need to be aware of that. So having said that, I'm not going to do that, okay? Okay. I talked last week, not in this service, about coming. I said I'm not going to talk about it, and I'm starting to talk about it. About how that they were blessed. I'm not going to talk about it, okay? I'm going to move right on here. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. I have an appetite for this. I have an appetite, a hunger for what I'm getting ready to tell you. I have an appetite for it to be in my life. I have an appetite for it to be in your life individually. And I have an appetite for it to be in my family. And I have an appetite for it to be in your family. And I have an appetite for it to be in the corporate body of Christ. Here and outside these four walls. What do I have an appetite for? I have an appetite to be so aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit that I know when presence flows out of me into somebody else. I want to be so aware of the manifest ability of God to manifest himself in me, about the ability of God to manifest his presence, everybody say, through me, into others. Are you listening to me? At any moment, at any time. Because when I'm at my weakest, I am bigger than the person who the devil's coming against that has none of God. Let me say that in a different way. At my weakest moment, I can destroy the works of the devil. When I feel like I'm weak, the Bible says I'm made strong. And the Bible says I will go and minister. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Hallelujah. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I'm not going in my strength. In fact, he says, when I'm weak, I'm made strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that mean? The manifest presence of God is in you, but he's also on you. And I want us to be so aware of it that when we rub shoulders with people out in the highways and the byways and power is gone out of us, we're going to know it. Somebody say amen. And we're going to sense when they say, can you help me? Will you pray with me? Look, and they're telling you all their sorrows and their woes and their sad situations. And they're just literally begging you to say, can I pray with you? I want you to be aware that there is power, manifest presence, power in you and on you to heal the sick. What's the will of God for my life? Pick something. But then heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Jesus said, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to heal the sick, you're supposed to cast out devils, and you're supposed to raise the dead. You say, well, you're just crazy. No, I'm telling you, there are dead things in people's lives that need to be resurrected. But I want to go a step further. There are dead bodies that God is raising all over the world today. And you have the same resurrection power in you to raise the dead, to heal the sick, and to cast out spirits. You say, I don't believe in casting out demons. There are enough anxiety spirits attacking families in this house to where we need to take authority, and we need to have the manifest power of God. Somebody help me to cast out those spirits and tell them, you must go. You cannot stay. You're tormenting, tantalizing terrorism day. Are over. I am a child of God. My family's in the child of God, and you have to leave our family. Give the Lord a victory clap right now. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands unto all ye people. Shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Like Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood, when she was healed, when virtue, power, presence, manifest presence flowed out of him because of the woman's action of faith. She acted on her faith. The Holy Spirit is in you for your sake. He rests upon you for the sake of others. He's in me for my sake. He's upon me for your sake. Somebody say amen. Say, he's in me for my sake. Say, he's on me for their sake. I say it again, at your weakest moment, you have more power than the person who doesn't know God. Let me say it this way. At your weakest moment, somebody who's full of God but needs somebody to pray for them, you have enough power in you, more than enough, to help them and meet their needs. You say, well, I just can't do it. Were you going to do it anyway? Was it going to be you who healed them? Say no. Who's the healer? Who's the healer?
Jesus.
Who's the healer?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I have an appetite. When the Spirit of God manifests himself upon his people, it's because he's assigned us into a situation, hear this, where an impossibility must bow before the presence of God in you and God on you. Hear this. I want to stir up, to provoke, to cultivate an appetite for that today. What? To see impossibilities bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, Fear bows before him. In Jesus' name, cancer bows before him. In Jesus' name, sugar diabetes bows before him. In Jesus' name, depression bows before him. In Jesus' name, the devil himself bows before him. It's never been any different. The thing the enemy has is deception and trickery. When the Lord called the sons of God before the throne in the book of Job, Satan answered that and obeyed that call and came and bowed before the Lord. It isn't a war between God and the devil. The devil is a flea, and all God has to do is go boink. But the enemy has made himself bigger than he has a right to be in your mind and in my mind at times, because he has deceived us into thinking that the power upon us is not bigger than his power. How many believe that God is bigger than the devil? You don't have power in and of yourself, but in him you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Say, I will go, I will do in the strength of the Lord. It's his strength, not yours. Say, he is in me. He is on me. Say, impossibilities can bow. I believe and I declare in this atmosphere that we are going to see things now and in the future that perhaps we've never dreamed of or never seen before. If you believe that, raise your hand. Everybody that has their hand raised, Father, they have a right to see it and to experience it. It is their faith that we're going to see things in this building and in this church and in this city and in this community and in this county and in this region that we've never seen before. In fact, we're going to see things that our eyes haven't seen yet, our ears haven't heard, and neither has it yet entered into the heart, and the things that God has prepared and are ready for those who love him. Lord, we love you and we want these things to manifest. It shall come to pass. But more than that, I don't want it to be in the future. I want it in the now. Say, now, faith is. We've been too used to thinking that healings and miracles were just for the heroes of the faith, for supernatural specialists. But I believe those specialists and those superheroes of faith actually came to show us and to train us so we could do what they do. That's what Jesus did. He says, what the things you've seen, Paul said, the things that you've seen and heard in me, he says, go and do them. Are you listening? Quit believing the lie that you have to work 25 years and study and pray in order to move in the gifts. Are you listening? It's a known fact that the young men and women today are doing things that it took us 20 years to learn. But we were doing things that the guys before us never thought about doing. It's the way it goes from generation to generation to generation. You are receiving the harvest of the seeds that others have planted. You're walking in that. That's natural. That's fatherhood. That's motherhood. Somebody say amen. So let's live in our inheritance. I want to talk to you today about that presence of the Lord that is in every person and why the presence of the Lord is there. He's there to comfort and to encourage, but he's also there for the invasion into the impossible. Why? Because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. That's Revelation. That's in the book of the Revelation. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. It is simply saying the kingdoms of this world, where the devil has ruled and reigned since the fall of Adam, are becoming the kingdoms of our God. What does that mean? It is what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not the Lord's Prayer because the Lord didn't sin. But we've labeled it as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth, like it is in Mars, like it is in the third galaxy from the sun, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. I said, as it is in heaven. In the precious, powerful name of Jesus, we have access to what heaven has, and there's no fear in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no devastation in heaven. There's no... Are you listening? As it is on heaven, God says he wants it here on the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody should have said, hallelujah. He gave us a mission where the backbone of why we are on the earth and why we're on the planet is found what we just read in the Lord's Prayer. It's not to do busy work. It is to bring heaven on earth, to bring heaven to earth. He gave us that military assignment because of his intention to demonstrate his goodness, his presence, his glory, his purposes into the earth so that we could taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't think you got it. What you taste and experience, you will see and know and understand. To see, to know, comes from the word receive-o-mai, and it means to perceive it, to know it, to be intimate with it, to know it just as surely as you know your wife or you know your husband. I literally need to have that kind of a relationship with the supernatural, with what God has called me to do. I can taste and see. I can experience and therefore know that God, a miracle-working God. How many of you have already experienced that God had a miracle in your life when he took you, forgave you of your sins, and gave you freedom from condemnation, and gave you hope? It's the greatest miracle of all. Say, I tasted, and now I see. You can see God, whereas before you didn't know God. You didn't know God. You couldn't see and understand God. That's why the Bible says that he preached in parables, but the world didn't understand him. But when they became born again, they understood the teachings of Jesus. Are you with me? Say, taste and see. What you'll experience, you'll come to see. You'll understand. You will taste, experience, and then you will see and forever know. What do I need to know? What do we need to experience? We need to experience the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is what? What? His goodness is his glory. His goodness is his glory. I explained that last week. The glory of the Lord, he says, Moses says, I want you to go with me. I don't want to leave from you. I don't want you to send me with an angel. He says, I want your presence. And you know what that did to the Father? He says, I like that. See, God wants to know you want his fellowship. You're not satisfied with just coming to church and getting a little goosebump or a little or some of the presence of God and then walking out and not talking to the Father all week long. He responds when you say, Father, I'm not leaving unless you go with me. I'm not leaving from you. I'm taking you with me. Because when you come into this place, as I said last weekend, you'll leave differently than you came in. And that's the way it is in the presence of God. Once you come into the presence of God, you'll come in one way, but you'll leave another way. Say better? You'll leave having tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I want us to taste and see every day. I want to know him as my heavenly Father. I want the power of God to be so resident in me that it's all over me, and everywhere I go, it changes the atmosphere. Sam, when you walk into any room, you change the atmosphere for good or bad. Not just because he's Sam, but because we're all that way. Although Sam, when he walks in a room, he's going to change the atmosphere. And it's going to be in a positive way. Are you hearing me? Now, if he gets in the flesh and he hadn't fellowship with the Father, huh? Oh, but when he's tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Are you listening to me? But at his weakest moment, hear me. Karen and I had some of the biggest arguments in our marriage right before we ministered. Isn't that right, baby? Yeah. One time was when we were baptizing. Remember that? Oh, man. Oh, man. You think pastors don't have issues? But in our weakest moment, the power of God moved. We preached a house of fire. I wish it weren't that way. I wish it were almost to where that if I'm not right with God, I didn't have that anointing flowing through me, because then we'd know I better stay close to God. But the truth is, at your weakest moment, the power on you will work around you. I think that should liberate some people and motivate others. Amen. I said amen. Argue all the way here. Get up, move in the spirit, argue all the way home. Go to counseling. Argue all the way there, get in the presence of God, argue all the way home. I'm sorry to disappoint you that you think your pastors have never had an issue in their life. I'm telling you, the woman with the issue of blood had tried everything. Oh, but when she touched the hem of his garment, she was not just healed, she was made whole. You know, God honored me and Karen while we were doing what we needed to do and were called to do. We didn't do it to mock God. We did it because we weren't giving up on God or ourselves. And because we were faithful, honey, hallelujah, I'm happy to say, I'm still not perfect, but we're deeply in love. I said, we're deeply in love. Oh, somebody give the glory to God. We made it, and the devil's mad, and he's not going to give up, but I win. Why? Because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And even when I'm weak, I can be made strong. Hallelujah. I want that presence. I want that manifestation. It's what I get up in the morning praying. It's what I get up in the day and pray. It's when I come here and I pray for 2 and 3 hours. It's what I do when I go to work. It's what I do, but when I pray for my food, I'm praising him for the manifest presence of God. I'm praising him when I walk in that restaurant, things change. When I walk in that bank, things change. When I walk in that hospital room, things change. Because the Lord is good. I said, his goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house, in the presence, in the manifest presence of the Lord God. He said, well, you're just crazy. Well, if this is crazy, lock me in. Hallelujah. He said, what are you talking about? I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Ooh, that's good. I believe to see the goodness, what is the goodness? It's his glory. He says, Moses says, I'm not going to the promised land unless you go with me. I want relationship. I don't want the angel. Thank you for the angel. I don't want to go there. The people, when they get there, they're going to know you sent an angel because we're stiff-necked and you don't want to be around this. I want them to know the God of all gods walks with that group. And he says, really? He says, yes. And furthermore, show me your glory. You know what? When you're in the presence of the Lord, Andrew, and you know he's pleased with you, ask for everything you can get. Well, I keep talking about my grandchildren. Why is that? When my grandchildren please me, they know they can ask for almost anything. Papa, I love you. Papa, I love you. And they give me a hug, and I say, hey. He said, can I have an ice cream? Yeah, you can. Don't tell your dad. That's the way the Father is. He wants to give you an ice cream, Lori, when you deserve a frog. You think I'm kidding, don't you? He loves me, everything he's ever given me. I didn't deserve it. It's because of whose I am that I got everything I didn't deserve. Why am I keep walking back to this pulpit? It's because I haven't memorized my notes yet. You with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that the shadow of your life heals the sick. I hope that we can take a piece of cloth from your clothing, because you live in the presence of the Lord, not because you're super saint, but because you know who you are in him and you enjoy his presence and you expect to walk in the manifest presence. I hope we can take a piece of cloth off your clothes and pin it on a man who the doctor says he cannot live and he has to die. And I'm ready for that faith, that transference of the healing presence of God that was on Paul's garments, that came from Peter's shadow, will heal the sick and deliver the blind. Are you listening? Oh, you don't sound too excited about that. You know what? You won't be too excited about it till I send a piece of cloth and put it on the pillow of your baby who's got leukemia, and the doctor says, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's healed. How many of you like a cloth for something like that? I think it's time for the shadow of God's people to heal some people today. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Somebody come to the keys. Well, no, I got time. They say zero here, but I got time over there. I'm taking that one. Somebody been messing with this. I rebuke you. Hallelujah. But how is it that a person's shadow could heal anyone? There's no substance in a shadow. Listen to this. I love this. But your shadow will always release that which overshadows you. What will overshadow you? Brother Jesse, anything you give place to. It's time we gave him his proper place. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will have coming out of our mouth, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. You know what mercy is? It's what you get when you don't deserve it. You know what grace is? It's what you get power so that you cannot do what caused you not to be worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Mark 1:9-10. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, Jesus saw the heavens parting and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending upon him like a dove. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. We've made abiding in the vine way too hard. We've made abiding in the vine something we don't want to do, but we have to do in order to be right with God. I'm telling you, everything that you count as joy, everything you count as fun, everything you count as pleasure, it pales in comparison not to going and having to go to a jail cell and get alone with God, but it just calls for you to go and worship him as you go to work. Worship him as you get out of your car. Praise him as you get into work. Praise him as you deal with work. Praise him. Keep praising him and loving him and just enjoy his presence, because there's more power in you and on you than you've ever thought of possible, ever thought imaginable. Things you haven't seen, things you haven't heard, things that have not even entered your heart, God's prepared. It'll make you happy. It'll make you full of joy. He'll begin to reveal them. He'll begin to manifest them as you just begin to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, and begin to confess your sins. You're going to make mistakes, but you don't have to keep making mistakes. Oh, but if you make a mistake, you have a lawyer who is Jesus, and he goes to his father who is the judge and says, what has he done? Well, he's done this and this and this. And the father says, but I can't see him. He says, that's right, Lord. He says, why can't I see him? He says, because my blood covers them, and you can't see them, Father. And the father says, I find no fault in them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's called you here this morning, and he's called me to tell every one of you that he loves you just like you are, and he'll use you just like you are. And yes, you've made mistakes, but there's more power on you than you can possibly think or imagine. That's what he meant when he said, according to the power that works in me, I can do things beyond what I think or imagine. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine, according to the power that works in us. His presence is on you. His presence is in you. He's lied to you all week. And I'm here to tell you, he lied to me too. And I called his bluff. And when you came here this morning, you called his bluff. And all the lies are shattered because you're the healed of the Lord. Touch the hem of his garment. His manifest presence is in that hem. Hallelujah. You know what his hem is? His hem is his identity. He had a hymn. And in the Old Testament, the Bible says in Exodus that they are to wear tassels on the bottom of their hymns. And the tassels stood for their relationship with God. Their tassels represented their identity in God. Jesus had one of those sashes and those hymns that had the tassels on them. And you know what? You know what? You know what it was called? It was called the corner of the garment. On every corner, there was some of these tassels. And God said, and the word for garment, the corner of the garment, also translates wing or wings. These are tassels. They are also likened unto wings. And the Bible says, in Malachi, look at Malachi. Can you put it up there? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stalk. There's healing in Jesus' identity. Because you see, what the tassels represented was the identity. When Ruth was going to marry Boaz and she was a Moabitess and he was a Jew, and she had no business marrying him. She had no rights. She had no property. She had no land. She had no wealth. She had no favor. She had no power whatsoever. And yet Boaz acted as her kinsman redeemer. Oh, it's so awesome. Boaz fell in love with a foreigner. Boaz fell in love with a stranger. I'm so glad to tell you that Boaz is a type of Christ, and Jesus fell in love with a foreigner. I'm the foreigner. Jesus fell in love with me when I was a stranger to him, and everything that he stood for, I was the opposite of. But he says, I loved you while you were yet a sinner. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she said, Boaz, put it up there, Ruth 3:9. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. In other words, she said to him, spread the corner of your garment over me. And when he did, he was saying, my garment represents who I am. Who I am. And he literally says, who I am, now you become, Ruth. When Jesus covered you with his blood, he gave you his identity. And the Bible says there's healing in his wings. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that little woman said that Jesus' identity is healing. And there's healing in his wings. And you know what? I heard. Look, she'd already heard that somebody had been healing. Go ahead and put Mark 6:56 up there. Hallelujah. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, that they might make a draw, Romel, from his identity. Who is he? Say, he's my healer. He's the healer. Hallelujah. He's the Son of Righteousness. There's healing in his garment. There's healing in his wings. If I can just touch the hem, if I can make a draw on who he is, because he already made me his, he's covered me with healing. I said, somebody need healing. Stretch your hands out and say, he's covered me with healing. He's covered me with his healing. He's covered me with his healing. Go ahead, touch the hem. Go ahead, touch the hem by faith. Go ahead and touch the hem by faith. Go ahead and touch the hem of his garment. His garment brings healing. His garment brings healing. There's no power in this garment, but there's power in the faith that I express. When she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus' power went out of me. Power went out of me. In the name of Jesus, power goes out of Jesus when we, by faith, make a draw on who he is. Hallelujah. Lift your hands out. Begin to praise him. Lift your hands out, begin to praise him. Lift your hands out, begin to praise him. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Never again. It was a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. He's convincing, but he's a liar. It's a lie from hell. He lied to me. He lied to you. It even happened to other people you didn't even know about. It was a lie. If we knew how much of a lie, we'd laugh. I say we laugh anyway. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. You say, this is kind of wild. Oh, yeah, cancer. He's a cancer healer, honey. He's a cancer healer. Stretch your hand. She had cancer, but in Jesus' name, she don't have cancer anymore. Oh, touch the hem. This is what I saw. People touching the hem of his garment. Anybody need a healing today? Oh, in Jesus' mighty name. If some of my friends had touched the hem of his garment, they wouldn't be dead today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's no distance in Jesus. Stretch out right now and by faith touch the hem of his garment. You say, this is ridiculous. You know what? You won't think it's ridiculous when they come and say, I had cancer, but I don't have cancer anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Power, 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 power. Come out of him and go into them. Power comes out of them, comes out of him and goes into them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's power in cloth, we're just going to keep touching. We're just going to keep touching for Hannah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The manifest presence of God is transferable. You can touch it. You can touch it. He heals your past and gives you a future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By your stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Hallelujah. 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 He makes us well. I am healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not only for healing, it's for deliverance. Let me tell you something about healing. Look at me. Sometimes healing comes instantly, but many times we walk it out praising him in spite of the symptoms. And in Jesus' name, I take authority over every family that's represented here this morning that is fighting against the scourge of anxiety. Stretch your hands towards this garment. I call anxiety defeated. It will never enter into our families again. It must go from those of us that it is within us and upon us, and it will not enter into my children. That generational curse stops now. Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I hear the Lord saying, who touched me? Who touched me? I felt power come out of me. Lord, there's people all around you. It doesn't matter how many people are around you. If you touch his garment, Jesus is aware. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time, Ryan, it's time for us to not take no for an answer. If you don't go with us, I'm not going. If I don't have your presence, I don't want to go. It's time for shadows to heal people. It's time for claws to be a point of contact of faith. That what overshadows us overshadows the sick. What touched me can touch them. Oh, I want it, Lord. I want it, Lord. There'll be prayer tonight from 6 to 7:15. If you're hungry for the presence of God, come. We're going to be pressing in, and we're going to be believing him and thanking him for his manifest presence. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus this morning, just reach out and touch him. Reach out and touch him. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. It's transferable. It's tangible. The anointing. In and of itself, there's no power in the material. No, I don't like that. The material itself is not powerful, but what flows through that material is. I'll never forget, Ryan. There was a young man. I won't embarrass you. Come here. Too late, huh? I stood next to a young boy when I was a boy. I couldn't have been more than 15, 16 years old. And it was an old-fashioned tent revival meeting. And my former pastor, his name was Durwood Phillips, he was preaching with a man named Jake Stinson in Stockton, California, actually. And the boy I happened to be sitting by was in braces. Full body braces from here to there. He had them on his arms, on his shoulders. This was in the 60s. He had him on his legs. He was like this. And he could barely sit down. They were permanent braces made for him for life. And Brother Phillips preached on Elijah's mantle that fell on Elisha. He says, this mantle, there was no power in and of the mantle, but there was power when God came on the mantle. Because that power was Elijah's mantle, Elijah's anointing, Elijah's calling, Elijah's glory that God gave him to do what God had called him to do. Little did Elijah know that Elisha was called to do double what Elijah was doing. And Elijah called. God called Elisha. But before he called him, he placed the mantle on him. And when the mantle came on him, Elisha was one cooked goose because he was never the same again. How many of you would like to have the anointing come on you that you're never the same again? That brings you into double what you've ever seen or known before. He preached on the anointing on the mantle. The anointing on the mantle. And at the end of the service, he formed a prayer line. And I thought, wow, this is weird. There was actually sawdust. I'd never been in one of those. Well, I was at youth camp. Actually, I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at a youth camp, and we literally rolled in the sawdust, and they called us holy rollers. But I remember praising the Lord and being filled with the Holy Ghost and having more joy in my life than I'd ever known before. That young man got up out of that chair and had people take him in the front in that line. And the line was from here clear to the back of our building. And when they came in, and I just sat there and watched. And he says, "Glory to God. Young man, you come. Nothing's too big for God." And he says, "In the name of Jesus, let the anointing that fell on Elisha fall on this young man." And he put that thing over him. And that young man, he just began to go like this. And he began to shake, and he began to move, and he says, "Let me out of these things. Let me out of these things. Let me out of these things." Oh, somebody here is saying, "Let me out of this thing. Let me out of this thing. Let me out of this thing." Oh, and they took off his braces, and he ran around that building. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, let the mantle fall. Let the mantle fall. Let the mantle fall. Touch the hem of his garment. Touch the hem of his garment. Touch the hem of his garment. He ran around that building. And you know what I did? I ran with him. Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have not come with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I've come in demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.